Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson that I just read to you, the story of the healing of the lepers. As I was looking this past week for something to preach on tonight, I found a sermon in a preaching periodical called Concordia Pulpit Resources, written by a pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Waverly, Nebraska. It's a sermon that is meant to sound as if it is something coming from one of Jesus' disciples, at least from their perspective. Now, the disciple is not identified, so I guess we can just simply imagine, if you've got a favorite disciple, that it would be that particular person. But it is spoken pretty much as first person, as if the disciple was giving you their firsthand account. I thought it was a unique way of presenting to you a Thanksgiving sermon this evening, so here goes. Comments on the healing of the 10 lepers from the perspective of a disciple of Jesus. If you'd told me 3 years ago that I one day would be a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth, I would very simply have looked at you and told you that you were crazy. But there I was, journeying with him and the others along in an area between Galilee and Samaria. I remember it like it was yesterday. Now, Jesus didn't seem to mind traveling really close to Samaria. The rest of us did, I can tell you that. Most Jews didn't like to go near Samaria. We were willing, as a matter of fact, to travel an extra distance and go out of our way to avoid that area. We Jews didn't like Samaritans. We actually looked down our noses at them. We thought of them as kind of like second-class citizens, not worthy of our time and attention. But looking back at everything that has happened since, I wish I hadn't done that. And I know my fellows feel pretty much the same way. It's wrong to think of other human beings as inferior just because they're different from me. Anyway, there we were, close to Samaria, heading for Jerusalem, and we were ready for a rest. We were worn out. And finally, we came up to this little village, and we thought that we would be able to enter the town unnoticed. Yeah, right, traveling with Jesus, we could be unnoticed. But we wanted to rest. We wanted to relax. And I don't know about you, but being around crowds all the time can be exhausting. I know that's not such a good admission for a disciple of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, could that guy draw a crowd? Everywhere we went, there were people, people, and more people. It was crazy. But on this particular trip, as soon as we got into town, as soon as we thought that we could kind of slip in unnoticed for a little R&R, we saw the saddest group of men ever standing in a distance. And they were yelling with all of their might, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You could tell that they were lepers, all 10 of them. Their loose-hanging clothes, their bodies wrapped in tattered clothing. They knew that our Bible, we call it the Torah, the Jewish Torah, commanded them to keep their distance. And when people who did not have leprosy came close, they were commanded to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" as if to warn us off so that nobody else would get that terrible disease. But on that day, they weren't shouting, "Unclean." They were shouting, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And I thought to myself, do they really know who Jesus is? Or have they just heard that he can heal people? And maybe that's all they really care about, is just getting healed. But as I look back at how I was at that particular time, I realize that I really didn't know exactly who Jesus was either. Well, I was a bit surprised at what happened next. Jesus called back to them. But you know what he said? All he said was, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." What? That's it? I couldn't imagine. I wondered, is Jesus actually refraining from healing them? I know he's tired, but I've never known Jesus to reject somebody when they come with a particular matter, no matter how tired he is. But that's not what was going on here. It turns out that these guys did exactly what Jesus said. They started out for the priest. You know, I wondered at the time why they would do that. Because it really did seem as if Jesus was blowing them off. They were being sent back, after all, to the priest, the very guy who had actually condemned them to a life of being separated from everybody else because he declared that they had had leprosy. And Jesus, after all, is not offering them a thing. He just said, go show yourselves to the priest. He didn't say you were going to be healed. He didn't say anything. He just said, go for the examination that they had already undergone, which is what got them separated from the rest of society and their families in the first place. But they went. And while they were on their way, they noticed that they were healed. Every last one of them. The skin that had been flaky on them before suddenly was just as smooth as it had been when they were young men. They no longer had to live outside of the city. They could rejoin their families. They could resume their way of life. They could actually go home and kiss their wives and hug their children. I can't imagine what that must have been like after having to live a life being separate from everyone that they cared about. They could again wear clothes that were regular. And no longer did they have to yell that terrible word, unclean, which is what kept them separate from everyone else in the first place. The bottom line, they were no longer rejects of the society. Jesus healed them as he sent them off to show themselves to the priest so that they could then go and make the proper sacrifices. That's what they were supposed to do, a thank offering to God after they had discovered that they had actually been rid of leprosy. They obeyed Jesus' command. I probably would have done the same thing as they did. I would have obeyed the healer. I would have gone to the priests just like Jesus told me. But actually, getting a little bit ahead of myself there. How did I know that all of them were healed? Well, one of the 10 didn't go straight to the priests as Jesus told them to do. He didn't go right away, as a matter of right away, actually. He did go eventually, but not right away. He turned back. We all saw him coming. You couldn't miss him. He was shouting at the top of his lungs, and he was jumping, and he was dancing, and he was so happy. He didn't care what anybody noticed or thought about what he was doing. He was quite a sight. And the next thing I knew, he was right in front of Jesus and falling into Jesus' feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. He just kept saying this over and over again. But you want to know what the most shocking thing about this little bit of this incident was? That this man was actually he was a Samaritan. Jesus even pointed that out. He said, we're not 10 cleansed. That's what Jesus said. We're not 10 cleansed, which is how we knew that all of them had been made well. Well, where are the 9? And was no one found to return and give thanks to God? Except this foreigner? Yeah, Jesus used the word foreigner. It's a word that's written in the code of the Jerusalem temple forbidding anyone but Jews to enter. Samaritans couldn't enter the temple. Being a foreigner wasn't a little thing to us back then, you see. Actually, I think people of all generations have trouble with people who are different than they are. They tend to look down upon them, not wanting to have anything to do with them. But did you notice something else that Jesus said here? In that one sentence, Jesus very subtly referred to himself as God. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? The other 9, who were Jews, obeyed Jesus. They went off and they went to the priest and they offered their sacrifices. Certainly they were praising God. They were doing it there in the temple. They were giving thank offerings in the temple. And yet Jesus said, was no one found to come and give praise to God except this foreigner? This one guy, foreigner, the Samaritan, showed by his return to give praise to Jesus that he trusted in Jesus and he believed Jesus to be the true God. God in the flesh, living among his people. preaching to everyone and healing people, even Samaritans. This one leper, now healed, got it. Jesus is God. As I look back, I remember that I probably hadn't gotten it by that time myself very well. If I had, then I wouldn't have thought all was lost when we reached the end of this journey that we were on, which ended up being the last week of Jesus' life on this earth. It was a journey that I'll never forget. You know, when we first got to Jerusalem, it's like we were in a parade. Jesus was the grand marshal. People were waving palm branches. They were throwing their coats down on the road and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." It's kind of like what you might call red carpet treatment today. But by the end of the week, on that Friday, he was hanging, beaten, bloody, blistered, on that nasty Roman cross. Only after that did we finally know that his healing of those lepers really was about his healing of us all. Because Friday became Sunday and Jesus came back to life. We saw him. And that's how we know, once and for all, that Jesus is God. And here, then, is the real thing. Since Jesus is God, he had died for us. He had risen from the dead. It took all of our sins away. As God, he was certainly great enough a sacrifice to be able to pay for everyone's sins, for everyone who had lived before that time, for all of the people alive at that time, and everyone who will live all the way to the end of time, for you and for me. And it's because those nine others... Oh, and it's because those sins were taken away that anyone gets healed, miraculously, or just in the plain old ordinary way of getting well again. Because sin is what separates us from our God. And if our sin was still in the way, we wouldn't get anything from God. Healing those lepers was already the result of what Jesus was about to do just days later after he had healed them by hanging on the cross and dying to pay for the sins of the world. So that Samaritan leper, going back to Jesus to give him thanks, was going to back to really the source of the healing of all of those lepers. He was returning to the source. Where the other nine still obeyed the healer and went off and showed themselves to the priest and went off and offered their sacrifices of thanksgiving in the temple worship, they didn't acknowledge Jesus as being God in the flesh and his cross as the source of their blessing. They missed the opportunity to go back to the source. They were thankful, I'm sure. But they missed the opportunity to be thankful to Jesus in person. Well, I know that I've done the same as those other nine lepers. I've forgotten to thank Jesus for all of my blessings, and sometimes I've taken him for granted. And I wonder if you haven't done that too. You know, being thankful at a holiday time like Thanksgiving doesn't always and actually get us to the true source of thanksgiving, which is the cross. So a big thank you to Jesus then is what we should be doing, and often thanking him for what he did on that cross for each and every one of us. And that's the reason that we should be able to thank Jesus, of course, when things are good, but also in those times when things aren't so good. Because he saved us. Let me tell you the last little bit of the story about the leper. When he was still face down on the ground in front of Jesus' feet, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." That's what Jesus tells each and every one of us. I have healed you. The disease called sin that keeps you from having a relationship with God and messes up the relationships that you have with each other is gone. I have removed it from you as far as the east is from the west. I have given you faith in my name, faith that saves you. Faith. Faith in Christ who died for you. Faith in Christ who rose again for you. you know, with that healed leper, we praise God and say, thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And just like that leper, we are thankful that Jesus has saved us, healed us from the terminal illness we all came into this world with, that thing called sin. And then we can go out into the world and we can tell others how thankful we are and how thankful we all should be, because this is not just for a few. It's for everyone. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.